Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
It's Thursday, September 14, 2023. Hello, Doug.
Hey, buddy.
I said the date first because sometimes I forget to say it at all. Yeah. I thought, you know, why not just blurt it out right away?
Smart. Get it in there.
Yeah, because you never know when people are listening to this. Could be years from now.
Good timestamp.
Isn't that
aliens
wild?
Might find it later, yeah.
I mean, I guess it also says on the listing for the show the date, but it's always like we release it at midnight, so the date will say that it's Friday, and I just like to be real clear that we did this on Thursday. How are you, Doug?
Great. It's like 89 degrees after 3 months of 115.
Oh, that's
here in Austin,
nice.
Texas.
Oh, it's nice great. Little cool down. That sounds
it
very
rained
nice.
Yesterday. It's awesome.
Well, our guest today is a comedian from Canada. So you could say a Canadian from comedy. And her name is Deanne Smith. D capital A.
Oh, one of those.
Yes. I'm not sure if we'll have to ask them about it, but I'm not sure if we've had, it's called bicapitalization.
Oh, I had no idea. Wow.
Among other names. It's got other names as too, but we'll get into it with Deanne. Let's go to work. Hello, Deanne Smith.
Hi. I have not heard the theme song before. I'm sure I'm going to be a regular listener after today. And I loved it.
Okay. That's good to hear. We usually get positive reviews, but if nothing else, it's a little jolt to the system to get our guests excited to chat for an hour. You two are both stand-up comics, Deanne Smith and Doug Millard, but you have not met previously. So say hello to one another.
Hello.
How do we distinguish between the Dougs on this podcast? Do we have sick nicknames?
No, we have discussed it quite a bit. And for a while we were telling guests to call one of us something different.
DB and Melly DB. Mel.
Melly Mel and DB, that's it. And I totally forgot that we even did that because that just getting people to remember those things seems like a lot more effort. But, you know, that's the great thing is if you just say Doug, there's definitely at least one of us that will be listening and respond. And, okay. But I think it works out pretty well. Usually the people don't have to address us separately because we have such different styles, Doug and I. That's sort of like how the premise of the podcast began sort of is that I don't really feel like a Doug. I never have. And and I feel like Doug really doesn't seem like a Doug to me.
Thank you.
That's how I feel about most Dougs. Most people are I don't see it. but you're on the East Coast at this time, Deanne?
That is right. I am in New York City.
Nice.
Brooklyn. Yeah, you know what? It's pretty nice. I am paying a lot of rent, but it's pretty nice.
I thought you were Southern California person for a minute.
I definitely was for a minute. So in early 2020, in January 2020, I moved to LA And listen, I was not reading enough news to know anything about the upcoming pandemic. Other people right. were at that point. I was not, but I did have like a weird gut feeling. As much as I liked LA and wanted to go there, I was like, I just don't feel like this is going to stick somehow. And then I found myself, I mean, I freaked out during that pandemic, especially before the election in 2020. I was like, what am I doing here when I could be in Canada? So I fled. I fled to Vancouver and I found my way back to the East Coast for a minute.
All right. Yeah, that's just such wild timing to, you know, move to California right before that starts, because it certainly made the whole place seem much less idyllic than normal. But, yeah.
And yet it was like, it was great for, you know, I was comparing my pandemic life to my friends' pandemic lives on the East Coast. And it was kind of great. I was hanging out in my little backyard, taking strolls, you know, the weather. There's still like a lot to participate in.
Yeah, we had the weather and we had like, you know, we definitely had outdoor activities the whole time. It wasn't even a particularly harsh, you know, end of winter. I guess it really started like in March was when things got really shut down in 2020. So you had 3 good months in LA. And the whole time you lived here, I guess you never experienced an earthquake.
Oh, there were earthquakes for sure. But I felt them. The biggest one I felt just, I think, knocked like one thing out of my dish rack. And that was the most that was the most intense thing I've ever felt.
Yeah, because we haven't had any. I mean, the most recent kind of big one just happened, you know, a week or two ago during that big storm when it hit Southern California. We also had an earthquake at the same time. It was like like a really silly disaster movie, like, oh, the gods are angry. So the weather gods are really going to toss things around. And then someone else is going to go, it's climate change. And they're going to go, that's not real. It's the weather gods.
It's all the heathens in Los Angeles. We know this.
Yeah. And you did my podcast, other podcast, Doug Loves Movies, in Montreal like 5 years ago, I think.
Oh, yeah. Such a long time ago. But what a long time. Yeah.
Too long ago. But that's part of my issue is I can't nail down where you live.
That's fair enough. A mystery.
Now we're going to make it. It's officially, for the time being, New York City. And when I'm out there, I'll try to hit you up.
Oh, but, my God, that'd be so fun. Yeah.
So you started your stand-up comedy career in Canada.
That's right. Yeah.
On the eastern side of it.
I started in Montreal. I had been living in Mexico. And
you're all over the place.
I am all over the place. I tend to flee. I mean, it's kind of nuts that I'm in the United States right now because I do tend to flee. I left for Mexico right around the time that George W. stole the state of Florida. That seemed like it wasn't boding well, but I thought that was about as bad as it was going to get. Now, that's kind of adorable frat boy pranks. Yeah. Just nap in the state of Florida. But I went to Mexico for a while. And so before I started stand-up, I didn't have a lot of drive or ambition or reason. I was like teaching English, hanging out on the beach, writing poetry. And then my girlfriend at the time wanted to move to Montreal. She's a Mexican mime and engineer, and there is a mime school in Montreal called L'École de Mime. So I just followed her to Montreal, and then that's where I ended up starting stand-up, which is interesting because of the, you know, Just for Laughs Festival is one of the biggest festivals in the world, and it's a bit of a hub for comedy, which I had no idea.
Yeah, well, that's and that's where, you know, one day you did Doug Loves Movies at you know, they had it, I think it was right there at the main hotel where everything happens at that festival. So this is like, I was going to ask you about the difference between Canada and the U.S., you know, stand-up comedy wise, but it's like there's an extra level of difference for Montreal specifically, right? Because you've now probably performed through much of Canada and, comparative, like, is Montreal much different than all the other cities when it comes to stand up?
Oh, I don't know necessarily. I mean, you are you may end up with more people that, you know, are speaking English as a second language in Montreal. Like, you might have kind of stronger French speakers in the audience, but generally,
yeah. So the audience is like definitely smarter than me in Montreal.
I mean, the panhandlers are smarter than me in Montreal. Like people on the street literally have to be bilingual just to survive. But I find, like, I haven't performed so many places, but I have performed in the UK a little bit, Australia a lot, Canada, the US, Iceland a little tiny bit. But I think kind of the general stereotypes hold true. I would say that American audiences are a little bit more effusive and enthusiastic and vocally appreciative. And Canadian audiences are a little more reserved. That's kind of how if I had to break it down, that's what I would say.
Right.
What do you guys think?
Along with that being reserved, though, comes a general, more of a sense of politeness.
Yes.
You know, and the enthusiasm on the American side, the U.S. is like more of it tends to go the rowdy, kind of the rowdy route.
Yeah, I think that's true.
And then those other countries, I have performed in Australia and London and Mexico, but it was always all those places that I was tending to just perform for, you know, all the expats, which, you know, people from the United States would show up to the shows. And then, you know, and like, I don't know. I just I didn't feel like I ever got a sense of, you know, because I didn't do enough shows abroad or in another country to really.
I've only done Iceland once, and it was just a private show for Bjork, and she was very rude.
Are you serious?
No, I'm joking.
My God. I was so excited. Because if you are in Iceland, it's like you're not far from Bjork. Like, I took a biking tour in Iceland and they just bike you right past Bjork's house. And they're like, there's
no
Bjork's
way.
House. What? Yes. And it's what you think it would be. It's just like a black box on kind of on a cliff just overlooking the ocean. It's really incredible.
Wow.
Like, relatively humble as well, but yeah, Bjork lives in a black box suspended above the tumultuous seas. Yeah,
I kind of picture the locale of the Banshees of Inisherin. You know how they lived like you know, on the like practically like on a, you know, cliff at the ocean, and it was so beautiful, but their homes were like really small and far apart.
Well, I've got to see it now just for that.
Oh, they have so much space to build, and then they all have these like those like pretty, you know, small little houses, and but I guess that keeps the area looking pretty. So well, thank you, Doug, for that fun fact that you made up about Bjork. I feel like Deanne is. Yeah, I feel like you've lost trust with our guest. if Deanne didn't say, "Are you serious? Is that real?" I would have, because it was just so funny that you'd throw something out there, you know, that was like kind of sounded like a joke, but you know, just you really
it
sold
could
it.
Happen.
Real,
yeah,
I mean, it could be real.
It could be real.
That absolutely could be. I just, every step of the way, the only show I ever did in Iceland, I'm already fascinated, you know? So why did you perform in Iceland, Deanne?
Well, when I lived in Montreal, I was lucky enough to meet somebody called Rokvi, who was Icelandic. And he was an open micer at the time, doing like really wacky stuff, 'cause he was also into like wrestling. And he moved back to Iceland, and because I was in the UK or something, I just noticed that the flights were cheap. And basically he like invented a comedy festival just to bring me over. So he called it the Iceland Comedy Festival.
Wow.
And I did that a couple years in a row with my buddy Rokvi, and it was so fun.
Oh my God.
Does the festival continue to exist, or is it only if you can go?
Yeah, I don't think it exists anymore, actually. I don't think he's still running it.
Yeah, because you're not showing up anymore.
Yeah, I'm, you know, I was the festival, but Reykjavik is so, you know, Iceland in general is so small, and Reykjavik is so small. It was incredible. So I landed at the airport, And it's a gorgeous ride, like from the airport into town. They have like what they call, it's like lava fields. So it's lava that has been like grown over with moss. Like I had never been anywhere like it, and it did not feel like the earth. It was just this incredible terrain, like so beautiful. I'm not even trying to tell you this. I just have ADHD, but I get into town. And within like minutes of me getting into town, I dropped my stuff off. I started walking down to the main street, and immediately somebody approached me in English and was like, "Oh, are you the comedian?" I was like, "Yeah." So they had like a, you know, like an Arts Weekly or whatever, a little free paper, and my picture was in it, and this guy just recognized me immediately. And I think the I think that's generally like the feeling in Reykjavik. Like it can seem like the people are cold to each other, like nobody's really saying hi or anything, but it's because they're seeing each other like 17 times a day. Like you're going to run into the same person all day, and you ran into them all day yesterday, and you're going to see them all day again tomorrow. Like there's no point in being like, "Oh, hey, buddy," every time you run into each other.
Yeah, my brother went a few years ago, and he had that same thing with Owen Wilson. Everywhere they went, there was Owen Wilson, because you can't really escape each other. But they didn't really interact. They were just very polite about it. And like, "Oh, there's Owen Wilson again. Cool."
They just kept seeing Owen Wilson. That does feel like the perfect celebrity to just keep seeing and not really acknowledge.
Yeah.
If you go to Austin, Texas, you see, you get a lot of Elijah Wood sightings.
Is that real?
Mm-hmm. I think he's out in L.A. now. I think he's in L.A. now, though. But for a while, he lived in Austin. I just, every time I was there, it seemed like I would, you know, see him, or someone would say they saw him somewhere. Okay, so we are here to discuss your name, Deanne, in its entirety. Oh. But first, we have some warm-up questions that are of a similar nature, starting with, what's your tattoo situation?
Oh my God. I'm so happy to tell you. I'll get into it in a minute. And this is a very timely question. But I also thought the premise of the podcast, I thought we were here to talk about the name Doug. And I thought two Dougs in my life. So
we'll get to that.
Okay, great.
Yeah, we talk about you first, though, because, you know, that's the polite thing to do.
I could quickly count them, but I have almost countless, which you wouldn't necessarily expect from this guy. And I just got some on Friday. I'm building a sleeve from the elbow down on my left arm. So on the inside part, I don't know how to describe this part, but you know, if you look, you're looking at your hand, palm up. And this is an artist that I trust. He's done two other tattoos on me. And I was like, "Hey, let's like fill this little area here." And so I ended up with some stuff that I, you know, there's three tattoos there. One of them I definitely don't love. And overall, it has a jam band kind of 90s. I showed it to another friend, blacklight poster kind of vibe.
Oh, my God.
My most recent ones, which literally I got less than a week ago, are, it's like a sun and a moon face together. You've seen this image before, like a sun with the half moon,
sure,
two faces. There's some stars and some just kind of fun lines. And then right by the wrist, there is this absolutely unhinged mushroom situation. Mushrooms can be very beautiful, very nature. Like this is really kind of like space age, again, blacklight poster. It's wild. It's wild that this is on my body now, and that moving forward, people will just see this and go, "Oh yeah, I guess that's your personality." It really has almost nothing to do with me. And I love it. So my tattoo situation is, I have a lot, and I have crossed the threshold into just getting whatever, because I think it's fun. And
let the artist pick that? Did you just say, "Hey, I trust you, go nuts"?
A little bit. Yeah. We just kind of measured the area, and he's like, "Oh, I'm kind of interested in doing this and this." And I'm like, "Cool." And upon reflection, I don't know why I accepted the mushroom, because I never liked it, but I was just like, "Oh, whatever, I guess it kind of goes." And now, you know, I'm not sure, but I'll back up and maybe let you know why I'm so free with the tattoos, is that you know, I got a matching tattoo with a friend in Australia. I mean, she became a friend. We barely knew each other when she was like, let's go get giant matching tattoos. And I was like, all right, why not? And then somewhat recently, I guess it was, January of this year, 2023. So I hadn't had any new tattoos since 2019, you know, the pandemic and all of that. And I was kind of itching for some new tattoos. And I was out at a place in New York called the House of Yes, which is like really fun, kind of sexy bar and performance space. They have like burlesque shows and strip stuff. And I was there with two buddies from Canada, and just the three of us, such nerds. Like, we walked into the bar and they had a pole set up and pole dancers, which we weren't expecting, like before the show that we were about to see. And the three of us were just there like, oh, you go give her money. No, you. And then I was like, no, I'm going to smile too much. Like, you got to do it. Like, we're just, you know, the most uncool guys. We go in, we see this incredible burlesque show. It was so much fun. It was, it was like really sexy and daring. And I feel the need to say we were all stone cold sober that night. We were just like having the best time of our lives. We walked out of there back into the bar space. And meanwhile, while the show was going on, we didn't know they had transformed the bar into there were these various booths and things. And then they were turning the performance space into like a big dance party. So it was like, come back out into the bar, you know, get a feeling on, and then go back and dance. So we walk out, I look over to the right, and there's a glitter station. And I was like, oh, do I want to get like body glitter? And I literally thought to myself, no, glitter gets everywhere. I thought the phrase glitter is too permanent. And then I heard my buddy go, what? Real tattoos? And I looked to my left, and they have set up in this bar at like 1 a.m. this tattoo, like this little tattoo station. And I'm like, this is the worst idea. This is not going to be good. This cannot be a good artist. It's 1 a.m. in some bar in Brooklyn. There's no way. And they just had these like black line drawings. This is what they call flash. And I'm like, I'm doing it, boys. I'm doing it to commemorate the night, to commemorate our friendship. So I ended up getting one tattoo from my buddy Christoph, which is like two little hearts holding hands. It's sweet, but it's pretty stupid. And then I let my friend Niall pick out the other one. And he picked out, it's not even a dagger. It's not even a sword. It's just kind of a knife that has like little hearts on it. And honestly, the way that it's shaped, like triangular with the hearts, it almost looks like a... It's like reminiscent of a slice of pepperoni pizza in a very weird way. And Niall picked that one for me because, quote, love hurts. And I got these tattoos. The boys did not get tattoos, by the way. This was all me. And then afterwards, I was like, man, that is absolutely the most codependent thing I've ever done. I did something that literally hurt me to prove my love to people that did not ask for it. It's like, cool. So yeah, I think the point is I'll get a tattoo at any time for almost any reason.
Well, we got to keep you. Yeah, that's exactly why I brought this up, is we got to keep you and Doug separate because you'll both go on a terrible tattoo spree. You'll just both go out and spree it up.
Do the listeners already know about all of Millie Mel's ink, or can we get into it a little bit?
Oh, yeah. No, we've really discussed it because he's had to do, you know, cover ups, the whole deal.
Yeah.
Would you say heartless at this point?
Yeah, he doesn't know the number.
Yeah, but it's not crazy. But I get a lot. There's also like a lot of small ones and, you know, things like that. So it does add up, I guess.
It'd be funny if you had like three or four, but this whole time you've been telling me you can't keep, you don't know the number.
It's too hard to count.
Yeah, I haven't seen my back in a while.
Doug Benson, do you remain unmarred in this way?
I do, yeah.
Wow.
That's why we ask people about it, because Doug has so many and I don't have any. And we both feel that it's not unlike your name. It's something that, obviously you can change it later, but that's another choice you have to make. if it's just something you're sort of stuck with. And that leads to the next question I wanted to ask you, which is, have you ever been involved in the naming of any pets?
Oh my goodness. Well, I do have my own dog, Rudy, who I didn't name, actually. She came from the fosters with the name Rudy because she was reminiscent of Rudolph, the red-nosed reindeer, to them. She's sleeping sweetly, curled up like a little deer right now. and I just kept that name because I thought it was sweet and to kind of honor the fosters for having taken care of her. Her name before that, she came from Mexico, and she is a tiny black dog, and her name was Negrita, which obviously we had to change. but I was hanging out in another like a dog rescue cafe kind of place, and they came in with a new dog that needed to be named, and I just thought she looked like a tuna, and they were very divided. They were very divided about whether or not they should call this dog Tuna, but they did. So somewhat recently, I named a dog Tuna. I used to have a frog called Harvey after my grandfather. I was about 11, and I thought it was just funny because the frog had kind of like a kind of voice, and my grandfather was, you know, a bit of an abusive alcoholic that also had a kind of voice. So I just named him Harvey.
you could have given him a last name too, because of the there was a popular drink called a Harvey Wallbanger.
You're right, that would have been cool. Man, if I was 11 and I knew about a Harvey Wallbanger.
Yeah, I think that was, I don't know how long ago that was. It feels like if you went into somewhere and asked for a Harvey Wallbanger, they wouldn't know what you're talking about.
No, it feels like a real 60s situation and earlier.
Yeah, I shouldn't know it. Okay, so, and then a lot of people get into naming their, you know, houses, cars, boats, whatever, like inanimate objects. God,
I thought you were going to say anatomy. I really, really did, and I was panicking.
Well, you know what? You're right about that. That is an interesting point, is that there are people of all sexes out there that do actually give names to the parts. And we've never asked people that before. I guess part of the reason being that, you know, it's not really, you know, that's really not going to catch on with everybody, I don't think, because you don't get, you know, greeted.
you know what I mean? It's kind of private. Yeah.
Like on a, yeah. I guess like on a new, you know, if you're on a nude beach a lot, they'd maybe use three or four names based on all the different things you've nicknamed. But oh, that's also where tattoos could come in handy. But my point is, do I have a point, Doug? Oh, yeah, we've never asked people that. Why did you think of that, Deanne?
It just felt like where it was going. I'm on a podcast with two dudes called Doug. I mean, there's no way you don't have nicknames for your junk.
I never have. Have you, Doug?
I don't have a nickname for your junk either, or my junk.
Well, now that you mention it, I do have one for yours.
Harvey Wallbanger.
Oh, that's a nice one, actually.
That is a nice name for it. I mean, it's a little intimidating when you first offer people to see it, but wow. No, so that was the question, though, is like, you know, it's a sillier, not sillier, but it's a not a weird thing. But, you know, people name their cars.
Yeah.
And I obviously, like, it's a tradition to give boats a name, I guess, like, or not even a tradition. Like, you need to have a name on your boat, like, to, you know, because it's going to be registered somewhere,
right? You know,
with the boat registry.
I do have a car. I love my car very much. And I've had cars over the years. I've never given them names. There was a time that I had it might have been a 2002 electric blue Dodge Neon. And friends of mine borrowed it and nicknamed that car Carmen Electra, I think for electric blue. I really don't even know. So that car got named without me.
Carmen's a great name for a car, let's face it.
Yeah, that's what. Yes, of course. That's where it comes from. Carmen Electra.
Yeah. If I had another car, which I probably won't, I'm thinking Carl would be a fun name for a car.
Carl is a really fun name.
Have you seen my car, Carl? Carl. Okay. And then finally, another vague question about naming things. What do you have like a project that you're currently promoting?
Oh, you mean you want me to self-promote right now? Is that something I should be doing?
Well, if there's like, if you have like a new special or something, or.
Okay, listen, there's an album out there.
I'm talking about.
Yeah. Over the summer, I put out an album with 800-pound gorilla at a price. Honestly, everyone, that is insulting to everyone involved. Me, the production company, you as the consumer, it's like $5 or something. So you got $5. Yeah. And the title of the album is Chiweeny in a Tank Top, which is based on a riff about my gender identity, where I'm kind of like, whatever, I'll take anything. You can call me failed woman, weird man, Chiweeny in a tank top. You're close to the vibe. It's a whole joke. It's a whole situation.
Yeah. And then, you know, that's the thing about albums and specials is you know, you got to either draw on, you know, something that was said in the special or some sort of, you know, now people are giving names to their specials, like, you know, a person's name. There's like, at least
for sure.
Like, Matt Bronger has Doug and Carmichael has Nathaniel. And who's the lady who has two of them?
A little too arty for my taste. Yeah, there's Hannah Gadsby with Nanette and Douglas.
And Douglas, yes. There's two different comedy specials named Doug out there. Doug and Douglas. And I haven't seen either of them. But I'll probably feel distanced from it. I probably won't feel like, oh, she's talking about me, or oh, he's talking about me.
Yeah. I wanted to call the album, based on another track with an oft-repeated phrase, I wanted to call the album We're All Fags, but was persuaded for market reasons and airplay reasons. I was persuaded against calling it that.
Yeah, and also, like, if they just, you know, blacked out some of the letters and just like F blank or anything like that, then you're not even sure what word it's driving at.
Yeah, it doesn't even get better. It's like, we're all fuck?
What is we're all fucks. Let's admit it. We're all fucks. Yeah. But I mean, I'd be in line to buy that title. But yeah, it does become an issue with people who like to get concerned about things. That was always what's so funny to me about, like, Obama showing up on Mark Maron's podcast, is because the president of the United States was on a show that's called What the Fuck, where the host calls the listeners fucketeers? Fuckineers?
Yeah, yeah.
So he's like, hello, fuckineers. I'm here with the president, former president.
Which, honestly, at this point, 2023, again, it's nothing. That's child's play compared to what's going on with the presidencies now.
Yeah, absolutely. We need to take a break, but when we come back, we're going to do what we've been promising to do this whole time, and that's talk about your name. We'll be right back.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure, with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, we are back with Deanne Smith. Let's break it down one part at a time, starting with Deanne. How have you felt about that name during the course of your life?
Okay, well, let's start at the start. So there's a capital A in my name, Deanne.
Yeah, no, I was excited to get into this because I think Doug and I talked about it earlier. I don't think we've had somebody with bicapitalization.
By capitalization, you're right.
That's what they call it. And they also, like, this thing is like the having a capital letter somewhere in the middle of your name has so many, there's so many names for it. It's called embedded caps, intercaps, medial capitals, mid caps. But the best one that just cuts to the chase and you get it right away is camel case.
No, I love it.
Because the A is in the middle of your name, so it's camel case.
Camel case. I never heard this before. I've never even looked into the phenomenon. It's just, it's been my blessing and my curse my entire life. I remember in kindergarten spelling my name on papers, and really my world was rocked. And I learned early on not to trust so-called authority, because my kindergarten teacher was trying to tell me, that's not how you don't spell names like that. You can't put a capital in the middle. And I was like, but this is how my mom does it. Like, who's right here? You know?
Yeah.
And I don't, you know, listen, I'm the third kid and a little, you know, a little behind the other two, 7 and 11 years later than the other two. So there hasn't been a lot. There's not a lot of like family talk about my name and how it came to be. They're just kind of like, yeah, let's get this kid born and put a name on it. But I think there was somebody, I think it was like my grandma's friend or something, called Dieta. Like Etta James, but Dieta with a capital E in the middle. And I think that sparked my mom or something. She kind of liked it.
You need that capital E. Otherwise, people would just think it's Dita.
Dita, which is a wild name.
Right? You figure out the Dieta by seeing it go capital E-T-T-A. I like it.
Yeah, I've been so focused on the capital A, which I love, by the way. I feel like it helps distinguish the name. You know, there is the name Deanne out there, but without the capital A, ugh, a bit boring.
Right, because that also, that's screaming like, you know, Dean with a, you know, Dean silent E at the end, you know.
Yeah, which, and a last name. It. This is where I'm headed, is that my mom's maiden name is Dean. So that's what I'm named after. That's why they got Deanne going there.
And they gotta capitalize the A so that people don't call you Dean.
Dean. But check this out. Had I been a boy, my dad's name was Breese, B-R-E-E-S-E. Kind of unusual. Had I been a boy, my name was gonna be Breese Dean, which feels like it feels intense. It feels like a burden to shoulder in this world.
Well, I'm glad you shared that with us, because I think a lot of people know what their name would have been if they would have been, born different, you know, opposite. And we never ask anybody about that. Do you know yours, Doug? I do. Yeah. I know mine. Do you know yours, Doug?
I think it was Amy, I believe.
That's a nice name.
I could see that.
Yeah, I was not going to get as good a deal as Doug. My parents were pretty much set that I was going to be called Eleanor.
Listen, I think Eleanor is a great name, or Eleonora. I always loved, because as you get older, you have so much to choose from. Even with Eleanor, you can be Ellie, you can be Lenore.
Oh, I think it's Eleanor, a great name eventually, but a toddler named Eleanor is already,
is haunted, is 100% a ghost.
Yeah. No, that kid's going to wear, you know, old vintage baby dresses and just, it's going to start drinking tea when it turns two. It's like kind of a Benjamin Button kind of thing.
I don't know if you guys have already, if you're already aware of this, but I heard once, it was like on NPR or something, they were saying that if you want to give your child a truly original name, don't go back, just go back one generation to like literally think of who your parents' friends are, because no one does that. So it'd be like today, like naming a baby, maybe Carol is almost too exciting right now, but like Deborah,
Edith.
Yeah. Edith almost seems like a couple generations ago.
Yeah. Cheryl.
Exactly. You nailed it. Right. That's exactly it. Like, it's really hard to imagine a baby called Cheryl today, right? Yeah. Or like Patricia.
No, really, I have a friend whose dog is named Cheryl, and it's just funny every time.
That's the best. Yeah. Roger, a baby called Roger in 2023.
Ramrod. Yeah, there's that, you know, it seems like people are going in both directions. Like they're getting wildly into making up names. And then they're also like, you know, just going back to the classics a lot. You know, there's unfortunately still too many people are letting the Bible guide some of their decisions. And so, you know, there's a handful of names in there that still seem to be pretty damn popular.
You mean the classics ever, like Matthew?
Yeah, Matthew, John.
Gilgamesh.
Luke. Yeah,
you got to go Jebediah.
What's the weirdest? I'm so bad with Bible stuff. What's like the weird? That'd be funny to be like, my name's Gamora because I got named after something in the Bible. Oh, I thought it was Gamora, like the Avenger or the Guardian, Gamora. I should say.
It just sounds like a STD, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it feels that way. It looks that way. Yeah,
Gamora. Like
Gamora again. Yeah.
Okay, so did you ever run into in your life any other Deanne's, especially with the camel case?
I feel like online I might know some, but because I do comedy, a couple of Deanne Smiths have friended me over the years, but really only a couple. There was one that I think was in Australia. We might have even met each other once. And I mean, I haven't been on Facebook in years, but ages ago, I think we, on Facebook, we said we were in a relationship because it was just funny. Deanne Smith is in a relationship with Deanne. But it's very rare. And I don't think I have ever in my life come upon my name printed on anything, you know, like a little novelty license plate or a magnet.
Oh, right.
Keychain.
Yeah.
I'm not finding any Deanne's. Every once in a while, there'd be a D-E-E out there.
Right. But there's no camel case license plates, I don't think.
Camel case.
So that's the next question is, you know, we've discovered that most people like, you know, when strangers or new acquaintances like are the nicknamey type, they tend to just like add a Y or an IE to the end mm-hmm. of whatever your name is. But no one would ever just be like, call you Deanne.
They wouldn't, except my mom.
She does?
Yeah. I mean, she did. She's passed now, but I can hear it in her like upstate New York, slightly Midwest kind of Deanne. Like it wasn't common, but it would happen every once in a while.
Oh, yeah.
But no
cute.
One else.
I like we that. Default, yeah.
Yeah. We default to D, you know?
D. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that happens a lot. Do people jump to that without even, you know, kind of clearing it with you first?
Yes. And that's fine with me. They jump to it for a few reasons. Like friends will do it, I think. And also like being, gosh, what's even the word? I don't know. Gender queer, some kind of they, them, some kind of no one's been sure for a while. I feel like because of that, a lot of times when I'm in like queer spaces, people are just like, D. Like they're not sure what to do with it, so they just give an initial. And I gotta tell you, that's like a bit of a trend happening. Like I know a few people just called S, which is honestly not even that easy to say as a letter. But a lot of times people are just, hey, S. Yeah, yeah. A lot of times people are just taking it to one letter.
Yeah, but a loud bar, S would just sound like you're calling someone ass.
It kind of does.
Hey, S. Yeah.
Hey, S.
Hey, you, S. Okay.
Oh,
so,
sorry. Real. This is out of nowhere a little bit, but related to that, I forgot. I almost texted yesterday at a coffee shop. I got yelled at. They yelled jug instead of Doug, which that's never happened. Jug, your coffee is ready. I was like, what? Sure, I'm Jug.
Did you? So was it written on the cup?
I didn't get the receipt. It would have been on the receipt. I didn't ask for one, yeah. So I never. I left. I wish I'd gotten it. I'll go back.
I love it. It's almost very open-minded in a way. It's like they forgot. They thought they heard you say jug and just no.
He confidently went with it.
Oh, they really. You know, that's part of the reason Doug brings this up, Deanne, is that I just anytime I get a coffee, you know. where they take your name. It's, you know, the spelling is rarely correct. And then once one person writes it down and then another person yells it out, they yell it out with such confidence, the most weird, wrong names.
What have you gotten in recent memory?
Well, dog is one that is recurring. Like that's the gag, is that they're probably going to just write down dog. But then someone else goes dog. And I have to walk over and be like, I have to beg for it. But we're running out of, oh no, we're doing okay. Okay. So got to get to this though, because I'm excited based on your first name and all the stories behind it, to know what is your middle name.
Oh, so my middle name, I think,
if you don't mind saying,
I'm happy to say, I think it's very typical of my generation. And again, with a bit of an unusual spelling. So it's Lynn, but it's L-Y-N. Most people are going double N on the Lynn, but it's L-Y-N.
Always double N on the Lynn. Yeah.
No, I've never. Single N. And I think it dates me quite a bit to have to share my middle name.
But also, if you run through it, it's a really like fun sounding name to say, Deanne Lynn.
It is kind of fun. And I have to say, there was a time in my late teens when I was messing around with like the name Anne Lynn. Maybe I'll just be Anne Lynn, like A-N-L-Y-N. Like that looks pretty cool. But it didn't really stick. I couldn't commit to it.
Right. It is a little, it does sound a little like Star Trek or something.
Yeah. It feels like you'd see it in a fantasy novel or something.
Yeah. Doesn't seem completely real. So that makes your initials DLS, which is, not anything to have any fun with, really. Sounds like
not too much fun. Although my older sister, I think, once pointed out to my mom that it's like LSD messed up. And my mom was like, a little upset.
Because LSD will mess you up. the things that people come up with, it's pretty funny. But Smith has got to be a pretty interesting name to have.
Well, in elementary school, it did make me feel famous, because a lot of times we'd be reading out loud at our desks, and the name Smith would come up all of the time. And I was probably the only kid in my class with the last name Smith, but it would come up in, I feel like it came up in textbooks all the time as just an example name. And
right.
I would look and I'd be like, yeah, Smith, that's right. That's right. Yeah.
That is really funny that it's like so, and you know, was there a Jones in your class?
I don't know that there was, actually.
So yeah, you had all the glamour and excitement. Jones could have cut into that, because I think that comes up a lot in those kind of books.
Oh, definitely.
Smith and Jones.
And now that we're talking it through, I'm realizing it has been an immense privilege in this Western culture to have the last name Smith that I'm never having to explain or pronounce or spell. It's just Smith. Everybody gets it.
People know Smith. Yeah, it is interesting, because it does seem like it should be, you know, a little bit of a stumbling block, because it's just, you know, it's just the one vowel and all these consonants just going crazy. It sounds like a sound.
Yeah.
You know, like if you close something really fast, it goes Smith. But I don't know, like, what's the most famous Smith there's ever been?
Oh, that's a great question. I mean, the Smiths, the band, maybe?
The band, the Smiths. Yeah, that's good. Which is also like really spitting in the face of anyone with a speech impediment, calling yourselves the Smiths.
The Smiths. I haven't thought too much about Smiths, but there's so, why is Ron Sexsmith coming to mind? But he is.
There's
Will Smith.
Will Smith. Oh, yeah. Of course. Yeah. I mean, and look what he's done with the, you know, Smith, and then also Will. I mean, the whole name is like, you know, just not exciting. But
Agent Smith from The Matrix.
Right.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, that's why I said Jones earlier, is because there used to be a show called Alias Smith and Jones, which is about just two guys in the Wild West who went under fake names that were made up, you know, they must have been drunk or something when they came up with the most common name. But yeah, and but I'm trying to think of, like, Smith is the Mormon church. That guy's name is Smith, right?
Oh.
Oh, Joseph?
Yeah, Joseph Smith?
I think so.
Yeah, I think that's a Smith, but, you know, you're not at all, like, what's the, you know, what's your background as far as, like, where did this particular Smith come from, like, Europe something?
Do you know what? I am not totally sure, because, so obviously it comes from my dad, and I don't know where his dad came from. There's a bit of tragedy in that family history. His dad is Smith. His mom, his mom's parents, my great grandparents, came from Ireland. They were Scullies. And so I don't know. I mean, England, I guess. I mean, I wouldn't dream of doing something like 23andMe, because I, you know, I don't need my DNA out there. And also, there's not much mystery. My sister's done it, because she's like this type of very typical American white person that wants to believe like there's some Native American blood in there. You know, it's like a real trope. It's a real cliche. But she did it, and it came back like, you know, 99.9%. Hey, you're English and Irish.
Yeah, so that probably tracks for you as well.
Yeah, he's gotta.
That seems pretty reasonable.
But I feel the need, like, I'm like so excited to say this. I feel the need to jump in. You having just pointing out, you know, the camel caps, is that what it's called? No,
camel case. Yeah.
Camel case. The camel case, and, you know, how many consonants are in my last name reminded me that, you know, in Twitter, when people change their names during Halloween to something spooky.
Yeah.
I feel like I always won this, because this is something I discovered in high school as a dark little teen, that if you take the first part of my name, DEA, and then just the last part, TH, death. During Halloween on Twitter, I would always just put parentheses around the NNE and the SMI. So it would, and then all caps, death.
I love it. That's great. I love
it's,
it.
It's getting to be Halloween season. Do you guys have you done that on Twitter? And do you remember your spooky names?
I've tried a new spooky name like every year for like a few years now, and I never, you know, never come up with anything so great. Like, you know, instead of Doug, like people, because I've also asked people to suggest names, and Bug is like comes up a lot. As something I guess is kind of spooky, but then, you know, what do you do with Benson, you know, and it's just hanging out there. It just ruins it.
Yeah, you know, some Benson people go Bug
Denson. They just switch the consonants in the two names.
Yeah.
But that is another fun, you've really inspired some maybe future questions for guests that are coming up, because it is fun to, you know, discuss the, what people's spooky Twitter name is, especially with Halloween. October is right around the corner. Did you ever do that, Doug? Do you ever have a spooky name?
I don't think, I maybe did it once, but I couldn't tell you what it was.
Yeah, I don't know. I think last year I just gave up and just said, you know, change my name to just fuck you or something.
Spooky name.
Is that scary? That's scary to read. You know, you're just trying to scroll through and find out about the world, and suddenly just fuck you. But this is the most important question we ask our guests every week when we get to it, and we managed to fit it in this week. Who are the? And you mentioned this earlier. Who are the Dougs that are memorable in your life?
Oh my God, I'm so glad we got here. And honestly, I had to say, I thought it was a bit of a weird premise that we should just gossip about other Dougs the whole time. I was into it, and I was prepared for that. I remembered a neighbor boy that used to live kind of behind our house. So the back of my backyard came up against the back of his backyard, which was a giant horse paddock. There's a fence. There were three horses in there. One was called Pumpkin. Pumpkin had a son called Jake. I unfortunately don't remember the third horse's name, but this kid was called Doug Stopper. He was a couple years older than me. And in retrospect, I'm like, I think I had a little crush on Doug Stopper because he was just cool and he lived with horses.
Stopper, like Tom Stopper, the playwright?
No, Stopper, just S-T-O-P-P-E-R.
Doug Stopper, that just sounds like someone who's a crime fighter stopping all the Dougs at both laws.
Call Doug Stopper.
Yeah, you call need the Doug,
Doug
Stopper.
That needs stopping. Yeah.
You think of listening to Wide like, World of Dougs? Call the Doug Stopper.
Oh, he'd roll up on his BMX and stop all the Dougs.
This show was going to, one title we had initially, a working title for the show is Beware of Dougs. And but that seemed too negative. Okay, so we got Doug Stopper, and then you had another Doug that you thought?
Yeah,
of?
There's one more Doug that leapt to mind. And have either of you ever played the Comedy Nest in Montreal?
No,
I might have at a Just for Laughs festival because you know how you run around doing all the different venues.
Yeah, I'm sure you have. You've probably popped up there and no doubt you would have been served if you had a beverage or the bartender called, I don't even know his last name. I should know his last name. Anyway, Doug.
It's probably Stopper.
Yeah, it's probably Stopper. he's an old man that is the bartender at the Comedy Nest. And, you know, I've been doing comedy, yikes, more than 15 years at this point. And he was always there. He was there from my first open mic. He is such a sweetie pie. He's a sober bartender, which you gotta love. And he always did this sweet thing for me where he'd give me a drink. And whether or not it was like an alcoholic drink or just a water or whatever, he reaches into his front pocket. There's nothing in there. And then he pretends to sprinkle a little something extra in my drink, like a little, I don't know, a little bit of energy, just a little bit of Doug magic. And on nights when I was feeling particularly nervous, I would be like, Doug, give me a little bit of that extra. And he would just mime from his pocket. I mean, truly the sweetest man. And
that
really
sounds sweet. Very nice. Yeah, that sounds like a very, very sweet dude. And you don't know what's up with him now?
I know that he's still working there.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, interestingly, so there were two main comedy clubs in Montreal, English-speaking comedy clubs. There's the Comedy Nest, and just down the road was the Comedy Works, which now doesn't exist anymore. And a really fun thing was that Doug is a kind of career bartender at the Comedy Nest. I'm sure he's had a long life before that. I don't know what else he used to do, but at the Comedy Nest, and his wife, Sheila, they've been married, I don't know, 40 years or more. She was a bartender at the Comedy Works. So it was really sweet, real family affair kind of stuff. And they just seem like cool people with awesome lives. I mean, they're in their late 70s at this point, and I think they're keeping those hours. They go home together at like 2-3 in the morning.
Well, I'm definitely, if I'm back in Montreal anytime soon, I'm definitely going to go to try and say hi to Doug at the Comedy Nest. He sounds cool.
And you can definitely say, yeah, Deanne says put a little Doug magic on it. And I think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, probably just put some salt in my drink. So thank you for being here, Deanne. We every week, or not every week, because some people's are impossible, but I like to do an anagram of the name of our guest.
Yeah.
Where I just, you know, move all the letters. You have to use every letter and try to come up with you know, different words. And so this is what I came up with for Deanne Smith. Tandem Shine.
Really?
Yeah.
It's in there.
Yeah.
That's incredible. And you just do this. You do this like a little puzzle. You don't feed it into a little anagram making machine.
Nope, I just do it like, you know, with a piece of paper and just my knowledge of words.
That is absolutely incredible, and I'm very impressed. And honestly, it's giving me something. It's giving me some kind of confidence or ego boost, or like to think that within my name is Tandem Shine. That's really beautiful.
Well, and also, you know, just for your edification, if you will, I thought it was interesting that you can get the word tennis is in your the letters of your name. and some other interesting words that don't amount to anything because you can't get the other letters to spell anything, or maiden and a dam with the N, D-A-M-N. You can do that.
Oh, yeah. That's fun. Maiden, I don't know how I feel about maiden. I'll take dam. I'll take
Satan.
Death.
Satan is
Satan.
Or I should say Satan, actually. but thank you so much for being here. Do you have anything you'd like to plug before we go?
Oh, well, first of all, let me say thank you so much for having me. It was a real pleasure. And I really had no idea it was going to be about my name. I thought we were talking more Doug's. I mean, I get, you know, I should probably plug that album, Chiweenie in a Tank Top. It's on 800 Pound Gorilla. And I'll be in Toronto soon, September 21st to 23rd. I'm going to be in Portland at the end of September. I'm going to be in Seattle. So if you're in any of those cities, come say hey.
All right. Doug Mellard, what do you got?
I will be in Austin, Texas here tomorrow, well, tonight at 7:30 at the Southside Comedy Club. And then October 5th through the 7th at the Vermont Comedy Club, opening for Dan Cummins. And then on October 24th, I will be with you, Doug Benson, at Cap City Comedy Club.
Oh,
come on out.
Nice.
Can't wait for that.
Shout out to the Vermont Comedy Club and my buddies Nate and Natalie. Well, the gorgeous names together, right? Married couple called Nate and Natalie. Get out of here.
Oh, that's really nice. I'd call them both Nat. I just like shortening names. Douglas Movies is going to do its 17th anniversary show this Saturday in Los Angeles at Dynasty Typewriter at 4:20 in the afternoon. And like Doug Mellard said, we're coming to Austin, Texas in October. And all of my dates and details are at douglasmovies.com. And Deanne, what we do at the end of every episode is give the episode a name, which is usually a pun involving the name Doug. And I think I've got the perfect name for this episode. So thanks again for being here. And as always, Camel Doug.
Got it.